Thank you so much, folks, for inviting us into your home.
Austin 316 says I just witnessed
and the millions watching around the world. Ladies and gentlemen,
let's get ready to rumble. Folks, this is what our business is all about.
What is happening, everybody? Welcome to the second episode ever of the Suplex Slamcast.
What's up? What's up? What's up? It's your boy Miggy up in the house.
Yeah. All right. We're back.
Oh, we're back. All right. We're getting it in today with the results of Money in the Bank.
Oh, yeah. And then we got some King of the Ring history that we're going to go to, and we're going to go over a bunch of historic stuff that's happened throughout the history of that pay-per-view and when it wasn't a pay-per-view as well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
It's almost like they're going to actually happen with before Royal Rumble was the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
Because it was actually a regular Battle Royal until Pat Patterson actually wanted to make something out of it, and they actually did.
Do you remember who won the first Royal Rumble?
Hawksaw Jim Duggan.
Yeah, boy. Good job.
Yeah, good job.
All right.
But after that, what did he do? Nothing.
Are you kidding me?
Nothing, man.
He can carry a 2x4 like nobody I've ever seen before, man.
Why the hell he's not? Him. Why he's not doing my house in the future? What he's doing now?
Oh, he's kind of old.
Yeah, he is.
I like him.
I like him too. Like him. One of my favorite top wrestlers.
Me too.
His gimmick alone was awesome.
Oh yeah. All right. So how you doing, man?
Oh God, I'm freaking beat. Just been working, but eventually I had a good weekend. Can't complain. Yesterday I did my Father's Day episode.
Happy Father's Day to everybody out there.
Yeah, happy Father's Day to those fathers out there, and happy belated Father's Day again. But eventually, I actually chopped it up and spent the day with my daughter, and
Hey, happy Father's Day. I should say that to you, shouldn't I?
Thank you.
There you go. Nice.
And pretty much wrapped it up yesterday with my other podcast, so pretty much that was about it at the moment. Yeah.
And now we're sweating
blood, crazy sweat, and right tears in the Suplex Slamcast Arena.
Yeah, man. It is hot today in Massachusetts.
Dude, people leave literally.
I feel like we should be talking about Bash at the Beach today. Yo, but we're not.
You know what's funny? They actually had to close schools down because it was so hot.
Yeah. At work, I wasn't allowed to bring the kids outside because it was so hot today.
Oh, my God.
So that was fun.
Man, I thought I was in Puerto Rico all over again as a kid.
There you go. All right, so what do we got? Let's hop into some current events here before we hop into Money in the Bank. What do you got? Anything?
Current events. Should we talk about Triple H, what he's doing?
Triple H. Yeah, let's do it.
I'm going to take it over. I'm just going to honest. I'm going to tell you something. One thing about Triple H that honestly respect, ever since he got this big position, I'm sorry to say he married his boss's wife, and he scooped his way to the top, and I'm telling you, the guy is making a lot of good moves, and I respect his work ethic very much because he's not sleeping. Any single time he sees something, he gravitates and gets it. So what he's trying to do right now at the moment, he actually said last year about the UK, and now Pete Dunne is the only UK champion, but now they're going to actually have a, guess what they're trying to do is a UK show. And with that being said, he actually doing the UK Championship. We all know who's a champion right now. They have a tournament eventually for that. But they're also going to do...
Wait, so are they doing a tournament for the title
gonna
do again?
But the thing is, yes. Whoever wins the tournament will face Pete Dunne for the title.
Oh, okay. So it's like a number one contender.
Exactly, exactly. So then also, they also have the... they're going to make a UK title for women's tag team, and also another women's tag team, and I think that's about it. But I'm thinking too, as Adam Cole is the champion for, I think, I forgot what type of championship belt that he has. He's actually using that belt. He's defending that belt in Evolve Wrestling, and he's also, I'm thinking that he's gonna probably defend that belt under the UK banner as well.
Oh, okay.
So I think this. I look. It's like a good move what they're doing right there, but at the same time, I respect Triple H for what he's doing. And
he's a hell of a businessman.
So he's
lucky that he was able to steal Stephanie away from Test. You know what I mean?
That's still got to be one of the best segments I ever seen on Monday Night Raw. That was
I can't wait to go over. We got to do like a 2-part. Thing,
dude.
At least two, maybe three parts.
You know what's funny?
On the Attitude Era.
I'm gonna tell you right now.
I want to
talk about
it. You
got me so beat about that Attitude Era because I remember I was actually having my friend record Monday Night Raw for me.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have cable. And the next day, I'll actually have to fast forward just to watch the matches. We recorded with commercials, and eventually, I was like, "Dude, you forgot the last match. I didn't get to see the last match." And I'm gonna be on the internet at school. Skip like you have to be working on the internet. No, I'm actually trying to figure out what happened last night. So
and you're waiting for the dial up to load, and so you got all your modems at
exactly.
You know
how many times I got in trouble just to look up WWF at the time to see what happened.
So you get detention, and then you'd spend detention looking up the rest of the matches. I like it.
I had to figure out what happened.
It's important. Teachers got to realize.
What you got there? You want to do?
Let me. I'll kind of hop in a little bit.
So we're gonna back and forth.
With,
back
business? Yeah. Okay, yeah. Let's
hop around today.
Let me hop around into the Super Showdown that Triple H has put together. So we're kind of still on him.
Yeah.
So this is October 6th at the MCG Arena in Australia. It's the big cricket arena, actually.
You said what day was that again, buddy?
October 6th. I believe it's a Saturday.
You know what?
I don't know.
I'm going to tell you, before you say that, let me shout out AJ Styles. He's actually on the cover of WWE 2K19 this year.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Hey, that's what's nice up. Work, AJ.
I'm pumped about
that's
that.
That's awesome.
So you said the 6th, this is actually happening.
If you pre-order
the game, you can actually play it on October 9th.
So it kind of works out right there.
So you got to watch the pay-per-view, and then the following week, you get to play the game.
That's pretty sick.
I can't wait to play it.
Yeah, those
and
those
also
games have been
check
off
this
the charts
out. I'm gonna
lately.
Let you know. Also, they actually have something going on with the game. They have a game in a mode. I forgot what it was. AJ Styles was saying it. If you actually beat that mode and actually show a promotional, video of yourself, you will actually get to verse AJ Styles for $1 million.
Whoa! Wait, in real wrestling?
In real life? No, I'm saying they're gonna wrestle AJ Styles, but you get to actually. If you won the semifinals and you go all the way, you have to verse AJ Styles 1-on-1. If you beat AJ Styles...
But you're saying in the game.
No, I'm saying in the game, but not in real life. No.
I want to wrestle him in real life. I think that would be match of the year, JP against AJ.
I got my money on AJ Styles, I'm sorry.
Me too.
You know what's funny?
I'm going to Vegas first, and I'm going to vote on him. I'm going to bet on him. But,
God.
Yeah.
That is too funny.
All right. Yeah, so anyways, back to Super Showdown. This is, I was doing some reading on it. Nothing is really announced for it except for a couple things. I heard a WCW champion, a former WCW champion, obviously, is going to make his return. I don't know who that is. Somebody said David Arquette, and I was like,
you know what, you're right, because the thing is, David Arquette was saying something on the other day. I think it was under... I can't stand this woman. I tried talking to her on my other podcast, Wendy Williams. Okay. He has something. I can't stand it, lady. Yeah, I said it. And I said it here on wrestling. I don't care. But he was on that show, and he was saying that, right now I'm training. And everybody thought, you can talk about the all-in. But now since you said that,
I'm glad that you mentioned the all-in, because people are saying that Triple H has announced this event in order to draw attention away from the All-In.
But you know what's funny?
So
I think All-In is in September.
No, yeah, I don't think they match up on timing, but I think he's just trying to take back some of the headlines, I guess.
I don't think it's going to happen. I'm going to be right now telling
you. No, I don't.
I'm going to tell you something. There's two die-hard wrestling fans like me and you that literally respect the indies like crazy.
Yeah.
And there's people from Australia and all around the world that are going to that Chicago
show.
Yeah,
no, and that's, So,
yeah.
So, two other things were officially booked. John Cena's next match is going to be at the Super Showdown.
Mister, I'm going to reverse the bicep. I mean, just have a baby with my wife. Seriously, can't stand that anymore. But anyways, go on.
Yeah, I'm kind of okay with not seeing him wrestle until October.
I don't give a damn about John. You know what?
No, that's what I'm saying.
Making movies, make another album, try to make babies. You get this girl back.
Yeah, make another album, actually. His album was pretty good.
You know what's funny?
So, make another album.
I'm going to say something about
this. It'll be all about, Brie.
I'm going to say something.
Or Nikki.
I actually say something on my podcast. It's called Kurt on, like, pretty much Ghetto News. And I'm going to tell you something. John Cena is going to be on the topic this week on Ghetto News. I'm going to go on. I'm going to get on John Cena. He's no longer wrestling. He's, to me, entertainment. Because exactly what he is. He's literally going to actually go from being a wrestler. I respect his wrestling thing, but eventually now, just stay in Hollywood. You already did this Total Bellas thing. You know, you got house rules. I don't want to live in your house, but you have too many rules. And
Gosh, he's not allowed to have a picture on the nightstand.
Yeah, So John Cena, keep on doing Hollywood. And now at the same time, too, John Cena's going to be producing. Oh, no, take that back. The Rock's going to be producing his next movie. So, yeah, you guys are good out there. So, please, don't come back.
Stay out there. It's fine.
Don't come back.
Batista, you're doing a great job as Drax. Stay out there.
I think Batista will actually stay on Hollywood. He don't.
I think so. I don't think he wants
tried to come
back,
and they didn't give him a second chance.
All right. So, last thing that's confirmed for the Super Showdown, this is gonna be match of the retirement home, Undertaker versus Triple H.
Are you sure that match was not in TNA?
Might have been.
Oh my God! I think I seen that. So let me see. Let me get down in history real quick. All right. I'm, like, counting my fingers with my messed up fingernails here. I'm going to tell you right now. So, Triple H versus The Undertaker at WrestleMania 17. That was actually pretty good. Then Triple H versus Undertaker at another WrestleMania. Then Triple H versus Undertaker at the following WrestleMania. All right. I lost track. So, all of a sudden, now they want to do
another. They had their end of an era match.
Yeah.
That was the last match they had at a WrestleMania. Okay. I don't know which one
and
it was.
And now they want to do the same thing.
And now this is the final, the last time ever. Yeah, I don't know what they're calling it.
Yeah.
The final encounter, whatever it is.
You know what?
It better not be longer than 3 minutes.
I'd rather see Hulk Hogan come back and run right there, do a leg drop.
I don't
want to
see that either.
You know what I mean? I'd rather see Hulk Hogan come back.
Hulk Hogan in his prime.
No, Hulk Hogan with Dennis Rodman.
Oh, good Lord. Okay. Cool. That would be fun.
Versus Karl Malone and who else? DDP. Oh, yeah. And then we all do yoga right after the match.
All right.
Let's get it.
All right. What else do we got on Triple H right now?
Well, Triple H,
because I got something I want to give you right before we head into Money in the Bank.
Only thing I got about Triple H right now is, like, we're going to get back to, like, saying about his wrestling ability. You know what I mean? His wrestling ability is still phenomenal, but I'm going to tell you right now, his work ethic. This is where I'm going to come back into. When it comes down to his work ethic, is this. That right now, is that he has, I think he's, like, pretty much he's a smart man. When I say this, I'm going to take a WCW aspect of him. When Eric Bischoff had Ted Turner's money, he was just getting wrestlers and not utilizing them right. Triple H does. He has NXT, and that's his baby. He actually took over 205, you know, as well. So now, at the moment, he's eyeing talent from New Japan Pro Wrestling. I already knew that was coming because I already seen and I already read that the one top star he wants to get his eyes on is Kenny Omega. That is one person I already know. And at the same time, too, WWE Network is actually showing videos of where Kenny Omega was first started, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But also, they were promoting under the website New Day versus the Elite at that E3 show for Street Fighter V. And also, so right now, it's like you can see behind closed doors, even though they're over there in Japan. But, you know, they're talking. They're talking. I know they're talking about something because I think Kenny Omega might have one good match again out there in Japan and then come over here. But like I said, I'm scared they're not going to utilize him right away. And the thing is, the same thing if they take the Young Bucks away. Half their moveset is not going to be allowed in WWE ring. The only way you can use that moveset if you're a person playing video games. That's it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and they have too many good moves.
Yeah, it drives me nuts, too, because we've seen it so many times, and we talked about it a little bit last week with guys that kind of aren't used correctly, the indies versus the pros segment that we did. And it's like, if you finally get a hold of somebody like Kenny Omega. So it's kind of like AJ Styles, right?
I think AJ Styles
has done very well in the WWE.
He has done phenomenal, like, mm-hmm. his name. Yeah. But eventually, I'll tell you something right now. With AJ Styles, I have seen that he does not have most of the moves anymore. Yeah. But I'm going to tell you this.
He's older. Yeah, he's older exactly. now.
Same thing with Rey Mysterio when he came back. Yeah. He cannot do all those moves and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
But so we do know that it happens, like you said. They get watered down when they come to the WWE. And it's just, it's a little confusing why, in my opinion. Because you got guys like the Young Bucks or something like that who have an amazing, or phenomenal, AJ Styles, moveset.
They really do.
And it's like, if you get them in WWE, why not let them go to their full potential? Because that's only going to help you. Like, if you're Triple H, you know what I mean? And maybe it makes him look bad? I don't know what happens.
Because it looks like they have to have, like, I don't know. I don't work for WWE, but I know they have to have, like, type of book, like, hey, you cannot do this, you cannot do that. These are the things you can do. You know what I mean?
They have outlawed certain things. Like, unless you're Undertaker or Kane doing a tombstone, you're not allowed to do a pile driver anymore in the WWE.
Yeah.
It's outlawed.
Exactly.
And I think that might have been a result of Austin breaking his neck.
Think so. When Owen Hart did that special tombstone, it was like a...
The pile driver. Austin went down a little too hard on that one.
I was crazy about that.
Yeah, that was hard to watch. Oof. All right. Can I give you a little special update from last week?
About what?
About your boy. Your underrated wrestler of 2005.
Mr. Rene.
Rene Dupree. I looked him up. We talked about how neither of us really knew where he was right now, right? So, I found some good stuff.
He's chilling with the Godfather right now.
Right this very second? I don't know. He might be. I'm not with them. He's still been wrestling up in Canada in a bunch of different promotions. He's actually still wrestling with Sylvain Grenier as La Resistance. So maybe they own the rights to that name. I'm not really sure.
Mm.
But the dude's got some tats now. He's got some kind of funny-looking tats. I don't mean to hate, but they don't look great.
Oh, my God. That's like Crash Holly getting that freaking big... Oh, man. Sorry. Rest in peace, Crash Holly. I mean, Hardcore Holly. He has that big tribal
chest. He looks like a...
Oh, my God.
Kind of looks like a rough-created superstar in one of the video games, right?
Seriously.
A little bit.
It's just like... I don't know.
Yeah. So that's interesting news. I also found an interesting shoot interview that he did last year ripping on one of WWE's top stars.
Let me guess, John Cena?
Nope.
Close,
though. They came up head-to-head with each other.
Oh, my God.
Wrestled a million times.
Damn, now you got me thinking with that one.
What do you think it is?
It couldn't be Shelton Benjamin.
No. Somebody who came up with John Cena. They were both main eventers.
Randy Orton.
Randy Orton.
Really?
So I got a quote here. I'm not even going to try to read it in a French accent, but let me... And because I believe English is a second language, bear with me here, because there's a little bit of sentence structure that is less than stellar, but that's fine. So,
we're still going
to
keep it PG.
Orton, I'm going to have to... I'm going to have to edit it a little bit here. Orton had apparently said something... degrading towards the indies and, you know, something like that. And Orton really didn't wrestle in the indies. I'm not going to say much more about that because he kind of goes into it in this quote. So this is a quote from Rene Dupree from last year. Last year about Randy Orton. So he says, Randy, everything, and that's in capital letters, was handed to you. From your nickname to your finishing move, people can say the same about me, but when you were hired, you were a fat slob. I had just won the Canadian Bodybuilding Nationals and qualified for the Worlds. You had 0 matches. I had 500 plus. You wouldn't last one Japanese tour. I'm on 49 cores and counting. If Triple H wasn't such a mark for your daddy, you would have been fired years ago. And you're nowhere near the worker your father was. You're bashing indie guys. Do what I did. Grow a set of coconuts, I'll say. Go out.
Cojones.
Go out and prove you're special. Because I'm sorry, bud, but your chin lock you use is boring as bleep. And then he says, burning bridges, question marks. I don't give a
hoot nanny. Boop.
Hashtag truth. So he kind of really ripped on Orton there, which was very interesting, to say the least. Now, I mean, I think Orton's a good wrestler, but I also can see what he's saying. Orton didn't have a whole lot of an anything kind of career before he came to OVW.
You're absolutely right. And you can say, I might hopefully, what I want to tell you right now, I hope I don't, you know, step on any toes or pretty much offend you when I say this. I look at it this way, too. When you just said that, Charlotte Flair. It looks like she has been handed everything to her. She has been literally having, like, more, like, opportunity title matches. And I already knew when they had their Women's Revolution, she was going to be the main headliner.
Yeah.
I already knew it. I already felt it. Because I'm going to be honest with you. Triple H and Ric Flair, they are very, very, very good friends.
Yeah.
Triple H looked up to Ric Flair. And ever since Charlotte Flair started wrestling because of her brother, you know, like rest in peace, you know what I mean? Yep. He died. So she's
it
like,
wasn't
you know
even her dream. Yeah, it wasn't she's her dream.
He's
living on his,
he's
really,
living on his
so,
dream. So pretty much, it looks like she's been handing out everything. And same thing with, if you look at it, Hall of Famer, Ric Flair. Cowboy Bob Orton, Hall of Famer. So all of a sudden, Triple H does have access to give the Hall of Famer to these people. And all of a sudden, like, oh, I got the Hall of Famer. Hey, Triple H, look out for my daughter. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what it has been. Because think about it. Their buddy, you ever seen Charlotte out with Stephanie? Mm-hmm. They're really good friends. So, Renee,
so
I
the only thing
them.
That I'm going to say to argue it is, and I'm not saying it's completely wrong because it's not, but who was a bigger star? Cowboy Bob Orton or the Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase?
Million Dollar Man.
Straight up. Exactly. No question, right?
Of course.
Ted DiBiase Jr.
No. I see a lot of potential on him.
I see a lot. I loved him. I thought he was bound
they
for greatness. But
legacy,
he didn't make it in WWE.
They should have done better with that legacy thing.
Oh, absolutely. Cody Rhodes and Ted DiBiase Jr. should absolutely be at the main event of WWE right now. They're not. But
last time I heard, now I want to catch up on people, Ted DiBiase Jr., he's doing really good, man. He has a camp for the kids, he's a born-again Christian, you know what I mean? He's doing really good, and I respect for what he's doing. So I think that one of the things at the end of the camp, they have a wrestling match, and he gets inside the ring, he wrestles.
Oh, really?
So it's pretty
cool. That's pretty cool.
So,
that's neat. I like that.
But he don't want to come back to wrestling. He's
I'm sure
and
that's
he also
the case,
did a movie for his father, too, as well.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. Okay. I think it was called Million Dollar Dreams. I forgot where it was. I have to look that up. It was actually, I heard it was a documentary.
Yeah. So I'm just saying there are times when you have sons that, you know, they don't just make it on their name.
They don't.
You know?
And eventually,
you
got to remember.
And, like, if you look at, like, D.H. Smith and Tyson Kidd, I know Tyson Kidd got injured, and he couldn't really get over with the crowd despite being an amazing wrestler.
Not the UK. What was that dude's name that was part of? It was the early stages of Legacy. He ended up going to New Japan. He's actually one of the nephew of the Headstringers or something like that. I forgot his name.
No, you're thinking of Sim Snuka.
No,
is that who you're thinking of?
No, that was the
Deuce?
Guy. That was Deuce from that. Deuce and Domino.
No,
I was thinking about the. Remember when they attacked CM Punk or something like that backstage?
Oh, shoot. Yeah, I do.
And
he was a bigger guy.
He was a bigger guy. He had like an afro.
Yep.
Well, that guy,
he's
now in New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Yeah.
So it's him. It's also Tama Tonga. And also the other. You remember my favorite? remember, what was this dude's name? After he got Mass. the Sin Cara gimmick. I forgot his name. He actually
Junico?
Junico. Well, that guy, his bodyguard, he's not Mexican. He's actually Samoan. Oh, he's really? Out there, too, with Tama Tonga. Okay. And they are a freaking phenomenal tag team. Hey, I love cool. that tag team. But anyways.
That's going to drive me nuts, though. I got to look up that other dude's name.
That dude, so pretty much, I look at it this way. Those guys are related to the Samoan culture. Mm-hmm. They are. The Samoan culture, that
it's really
big.
We could do a whole episode on that.
I mean, it is.
And we should.
So all of a sudden, they actually had like, they have all these Samoan wrestlers, and they're like, all right, fine. They utilized some of them right, but then some of them, they didn't do it. Yeah. Because like you said, they didn't live up to their name.
Yeah.
And you know what's funny? Is that, remember Jamal? Remember Rosie?
Yeah.
I thought Umaga was going to be a freaking top guy.
He should have.
He was.
He was for a little bit.
But the thing is, I thought he was going to be champion. Nope. All of a sudden, they're putting us to sleep with this boring-ass dude by the name of Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Rikishi was better than Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
His sons are phenomenal. So all of a sudden, it's like, you guys...
Samu, the boring half of the head shrinkers, is better than
Roman Reigns. You know? So I'm like looking at it now, it's like, what you're saying is absolutely right, that you cannot live off your name. It's like I told my friend on my podcast.
So basically, you have to gravitate around.
Don't wait for it. Don't wait for nobody giving you a hand. Yeah. Like I always said to my friend, don't wait for nobody handing out. Get the hand out yourself. Yeah. That's what you should do.
So really, Orton, Charlotte Flair, they got there because of their name. But they could have ended up, like, and I'm not saying that these people are necessarily failures, but they could have ended up like Ted DiBiase Jr. or something like that, where they don't succeed in the WWE. And they didn't end up that way because they're doing something right. Well, Rene Dupree might have a point.
Yeah, he does.
About certain things.
And I'm going to tell you right now,
the truth is somewhere in the middle there, you
Rene Dupree, I have give him all the respect, but I'm going to tell you right now, Rene Dupree... big good star out maybe in Indies right now, but I'm gonna tell you something right now. The one person that left WWE is not coming back is Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's a prime example.
I'm gonna boldly tell you, Cody Rhodes will be back in the WWE, but it won't be for a long time.
I don't want him back in WWE.
I don't want him back right now. He's doing his own thing and he's doing a great job. I think there's gonna be a lot of stuff that happens in the next 5 to 8 years. After that stuff happens, he'll make a return at some point. And
I see some of these older guys that pretty much, like, saw a picture of Kevin Nash that you could meet and greet. I'm like, yo, dude, give up. Because seriously, they're trying to take the eye off
Kevin Nash was in Magic Mike.
I know. I actually will make a strip called Color Feathers and actually have him as one of the strippers. But anyways.
Kevin Nash, there's a potential booking for you, dude.
So it's like, seriously, I see these like bookings for some of these older, you know, retired wrestlers. And the thing is, trying to take the eye out of, you know, the indies. I'm sorry. I love the indies. I love the indies.
The indies are great, man.
They have the phenomenal matches.
There's no wrestling without the indies.
That's the truth. And these people, their dream is to go to WWE.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then,
I did a minimal amount of training and didn't really... I went back to college and did that stuff instead. I could have been
like Xavier Woods. He still was in college and was a wrestler.
I wish I did that, man. But, I mean, that was my goal initially. But then I worked in the business for a little bit and I saw people who didn't necessarily want that.
Yeah.
And they were cool with it being the weekend warrior type of gig, you know? Where you go in, you're main eventing the show, and you got other people, like, I mentioned it before, like, Becky Lynch was there, Kofi Kingston was there at shows that I worked at, and they were second, third match on the card, not the people that people were talking about on the way home, you know?
And they're the ones that made it because they
didn't spend a lot of time at a promotion like New England Championship Wrestling or any other independent promotion. They tried to get everywhere that they could so more and more people could see them, and that's great. That's one way to do it, but some people don't want to do that. They want to work in one or two promotions in their area and do what they can do. So
that's true.
You know, and that's cool. All right, let's wrap up this opening segment And we'll get ready to hop right into...
We're still doing an opening? Oh, my God.
I know, right? we got to time ourselves a little bit, but we only really got two other segments tonight, so I think it's okay.
It's like we love wrestling so much, we're going to talk about it all day. Thank God we have this podcast now, you know what I mean?
Because
all
right, let's...
We needed it.
Let's wrap this up, and we're going to go into reviewing both the NXT show from this past weekend and last night's... Yes. Money in the Bank. So let's
epic fail. We'll do...
All right, so let's get it going. NXT Saturday Chicago. Night.
Yes.
Tell me about it.
Well, I was watching some of it. I had a busy day, a busy night Saturday, but I definitely wanted to go home and watch it. But anyways, the one match that I was been wanting to watch was Ricochet versus Velveteen Dream.
I heard some good things. I saw a couple little clips.
That match. To me, was match of the night. Good match. I want to go back home and watch it again because that's how good it was.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to catch up on that one.
And also, Aleister Black is still champion. Yeah, and I know that. And what is it? They call themselves the Raiders of, I don't know. They were a good tag team in the Indies. They're like the War Machine or something like that. I forgot what they were called. War Raiders.
You're naming big superheroes.
Yeah, they're pretty much big. Yeah, they're big in the indie scene, but anyways, they actually made it like somewhat their debut.
Oh, okay.
And then
the United or who's that? The Undisputed.
What, the Undisputed Era?
The Undisputed Era.
They're still tag team champions.
They're still doing their thing there. And
then Tommaso Ciampa versus Johnny Gargano.
Oh man, I saw some clips.
My God,
that match.
They don't give. I'm sorry to say, you talk about like rivalries and stuff like that. I'm sorry to say, and then. These two guys have wrestled before in the indie scene, and eventually they did the same thing in the 205 Live tournament. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry to say, it's like, all right, this is why I love NXT. And I'm going to tell you right now, sometimes I say to myself, I'd rather watch NXT than watch the main shows, because I'm going to tell you right now.
A lot of people do that.
They literally put on a phenomenal show.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry to say, it's like, NXT to me is like the ROH of WWE. You know what I mean? Pretty much, because the thing is that those
nights... No, that's a good comparison, actually.
Because the thing is, like, when you put ROH, right? ROH been out for a long time. Oh, and ROH has made some good stars that actually made it out there from the Daniel Bryans, the Seth Rollins, the Kevin Owens, CM Punks. All these guys that had big names that actually made it in that establishment, you know? Then all of a sudden, you go to tune into NXT. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, it's like almost like watching an ROA show, especially when it comes down to the, you know, I always call it, it's always the show before the main show of, you know, the WWE pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Because now, what they're doing, they actually included Money in the Bank as one of the main five pay-per-views now.
It's very interesting.
They actually made that now. So,
yeah.
Anyways, like I was going back to NXT Chicago, like always, NXT crowds on the pay-per-views are always ruckus. That was actually like pretty much noisy, and it was actually a really good show. And I was upset because the good announcer that I like, what's his name? Mike, I think he was actually doing some stuff with boxing. He has been going to a boxing hall of fame. My God, I forgot his name. Anyways, he actually had a guy, he's not going to a hall of fame. He's the announcer, the main announcer for NXT.
Yeah.
He's like pretty much... He wasn't there this weekend. That's what made me sad, because I wanted to hear his voice, because that guy, besides JR, he literally knows every hold, every move, everything. He's one of the best announcers that I know. So, but anyways, that's what I know about NXT so far. It was a good show. We should just watch it again, but
when it comes down to it,
I'm going to do like a backspin on this, and we got to go into Money in the Bank.
All right, let's hop into it. I know we briefly spoke about it already, and you were not super impressed. I actually thought it was... I didn't love a lot of the results. However...
Garbage.
Like,
I'm going to take a page off Joe Budden's voice. The whole thing was trash. That's how I feel about trash.
So, the quality of the matches themselves, not looking at just the results, most of them were pretty good.
I'm just mad at you. You know why I'm mad at you?
What?
I'm going to tell you why I'm mad at you. Because I'm going to tell you right now. Tell you why I'm mad at you. Because you actually think, it was a decent show. No, Joey. It was garbage. Trash. I'm sorry to say, I can't believe I even... I thank God I fell asleep, woke up in the middle of the night, and then watched it again. I was mad at myself for doing that. I should have went to the bathroom, looked in the mirror for like 10 minutes, and then tried to put myself back to sleep, because that's how mad I was. You know? It was... No.
I started falling asleep during AJ and Shinsuke, so...
Because you already knew that was going to happen. You already knew what was going to happen. So, please, let's briefly go down the results.
All right, and, let's talk about it.
And I can get more mad.
The Bludgeon Brothers retained... I guess that was kind of on the pre-show, because I was still cooking dinner, and I saw it come on in the next room.
That was actually
in
the pre-show. That was one of their matches in the pre-show. Some matches in the pre-show.
Yeah, I saw a good line of moves from Gallows and Anderson, and was very impressed with how they looked. But then they
ended up losing. Like I said, they're not using them right.
Yeah, they're not.
They're not.
Cass versus Bryan.
I knew another squad. I told you last week. Danny O'Brien is going to win, or actually going to feel bad, or let
him... The match itself was decent, but the thing is...
Dude, I'd rather just rest in peace. I'd rather watch a match from Test instead.
Yeah,
That's how... It was bad.
Big Cass cannot wrestle.
He cannot wrestle. Why they
remember last week
there?
When we were talking about Bret Hart and Chris Jericho, and they can make somebody look good?
I think
that's
what Daniel Bryan did to
Big Cass last night. The match was good, because Daniel Bryan carried him through the match. His torture rack, I made a note of this, weakest thing I've ever seen. My brother gave me a torture rack when I was like 11 years old, almost broke my damn spine. I'll tell you something, that's a torture rack. What Cass did was, here, let me pick you up, Daniel. I'm going to pick you up and walk around the ring with you on my back. It was nothing. It was awful.
Probably scratching his back instead. I didn't think I didn't watch that.
It was terrible. And then, all right, so...
You know what's funny? I'm more mad now, too. I could have had at least 5 more minutes with my daughter, but I was such in a rush to drop her off home because her mom was like, oh, she has school tomorrow. All right, whatever. And then I get home, and then I'm like, damn, I'm not going to never going to see those 5 minutes ever again in my life because of this match. Oh, my God.
Plenty more 5 minutes.
Not seeing 5 more minutes with that disaster. I'm set.
Yeah, no. That's okay. Sami Zayn versus Lashley.
We already knew what was going to happen there.
You want to talk squash matches? That was a squash match. It was drawn out far too long. I was bored the entire time. And I don't mind Lashley. He's a very... you know, he's got his slightly bigger than John Cena set of moves.
Okay.
And I think that Sami Zayn's a pretty good wrestler, but it just... I was bored.
Let me get into these two. All right? I have a friend named Bobby as well. He can't stand the guy. He always tells me, Miggy, he's big for nothing. I'm going to tell you something. I've always been a big Bobby Lashley fan. You know what I mean? You even know that, you know?
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, when I saw him get... Like, there were some problems when he left WWE. We're not going to get into that. Because we both know what happened. But eventually, when he went to TNA, he was also an MMA fighter. He literally looked phenomenal in TNA.
Yeah, great job.
A good heel.
Oh, yeah.
Like, seriously, when he went back to WWE, I was so excited. I was like, yo, please make him a bad guy. Please make him a bad guy. Even MVP said the same thing. He's a bad guy.
Talk about a guy I miss.
He'll be a bad guy. I could be his mouthpiece, and you will really see his potential.
Yep.
Then all of a sudden, you put him against Sami Zayn, another great wrestler. Mm-hmm. You know, all of a sudden, I'm a big Sami Zayn fan.
I like Sami Zayn a lot.
I'm going to tell you right now, they're not utilizing him right. He could have been a champion. Mm-hmm. He didn't even hold no gold yet. The matches between him and Kevin Owens have been great.
Yeah.
They've been taking that ride from ROH to WWE, you know, from NXT to the main roster. You know what's funny? I'll take this real quick with a grain of salt. When they came in to actually, you know, to try to get like a contract, them two were fighting each other, and they're friends. That's what makes me laugh, is that they've been
together.
Like me and you fighting all of a sudden. And they were like, I'm sorry, but it's only business, you know?
You're
that right here, with them doing this, it was so stupid just watching, like, the hype for the matches, the military style, the sisters gimmick, all these stupid gimmicks. Mm. Sami Zayn has a mouth. I like the way he talks. He has a good mouthpiece. But that Bobby Lashley does not, He don't really speak as much. He's like a soft-spoken
and
person.
And they played off that his first run in the WWE. Yeah. They made him, I forget what they called him, the silent.
The silent, something I know he talking about. But then all of a sudden, everybody knows. A lot of fans were upset with this situation, too, because I have one of my coworkers said the same thing, too. He's like, yo, dude, you saw Money in the Bank last night. I was like, that Bobby Lashley match. I'm like, then he needs to go back into the indies. I'm sorry to say, Bobby Lashley, yeah, big name. Mm-hmm. I think he would have been better in the indies after he left TNA. I think he should have been there. Yeah. Back to the indies. He should have been good in the indies.
I don't blame him for trying, but no, I agree with you. All right, so moving right along here.
Sorry, Bobby Lashley.
Sorry, Bobby. I always want to say that in the King of the Hill voice. Sorry, Bobby. so
I'm done.
We got
exactly like Hank.
We got Seth Rollins and Elias. This was a good match, nice and competitive all the way through. I know you had Elias winning. Okay. I gotta say, I was right. Seth Rollins retained.
Okay.
But he used the tights.
Okay, I'm going to tell you right now.
To roll him up. It was kind of a dirty
win. It was a dirty win, but I'm going to tell you this right now.
Yeah.
Guess what? I'm going to talk to you about this. We're going to laugh about this. Elias should have won. But you know why he didn't win? Because Seth Rollins needs to be champion. And guess what? Our boy Brock Lesnar's not even booked for SummerSlam. So guess what? Seth Rollins gonna be holding that title, and what me and you wanted to see was title versus title. It ain't gonna happen. So Seth Rollins now is the champion of WWE of Raw, Intercontinental title champion.
Yeah, because Brock Lesnar ain't nothing.
So that title on Raw is the main title. To me, the IC title is the main title. Yeah. So you got all these big
more
names.
More prestigious looking.
It's more prestigious. And The Miz made him more prestigious as well. So, I'm sorry to say.
I can't stand The Miz, but yeah, I agree.
I like
with
The Miz.
You.
But I'll tell you right now that right now Seth Rollins is holding down like if he was the Universal Champion. So, you know what? Big ups to Seth Rollins for doing his thing. I know that Elias will actually one day soon be walking with that title. And I want to see it happen. Because I always. Because
I'm hoping that that changes and that Lesnar comes.
Oh, God. But I'm going to take a page off Stone Cold's book real quick of the IC title real quick while we're on this.
Yeah.
And I always see it this day to this day. Even as a kid, when Stone Cold said it, you know what? The IC title, big people have holding that title. And that's the title before you get into the main title.
It's a stepping stone.
So all of a sudden, where's the big title now? An idiot's holding it for no reason.
Yep.
And it's catching dust while these guys are wrestling for what? Nothing. They're fighting for a title. But they want to get into that bigger title picture, you know?
So I'm glad you brought up that because I had a note here that I wanted to go back to. Seth Rollins on Twitter using the hashtag fighting champion.
Yep.
Big old jab at Brock Lesnar right there because we went over the stats last week. I could go back through my notes, but I don't have to. I remember Lesnar has defended the title 13 times, including TV. And dark matches and house shows.
13 times.
Everything. Total.
That's
13
more,
times.
Actually, I think I wiped my butt more times than that. Yeah, I wiped my butt more times than 13. So, yeah, I think I am.
That's a good picture.
So, yeah. Almost. So, that's how I feel about Brock Lesnar.
You know what I have to say to that?
What?
Damn it, Bobby. All right. Let's keep it moving. So, Women's Money in the Bank. Good match. I thought it was a good match.
I failed on my Mickey Vision on this one.
I think we all failed. I got to tell you, I have a lot of notes about this match, though.
I was pumped.
I was pumped, too, because I'm a big Alexa fan.
Me, too. I
wrote down a quote from my wife. I was watching this match with my wife last night. One of the things she said the first time Alexa Bliss touched a ladder is, Alexa's going to need a 75-foot ladder to reach that briefcase because of how small she is. I thought that was pretty funny.
She is tiny.
Yeah. And my wife's tiny, too, so she knows what it's all about.
And she's pretty tall. She's in the middle. I don't know. I met her a couple times. Really?
Oh. Wait, my wife? Or?
Yeah, your wife.
Oh, no, she's 4'11". She's a bit shorter than Alexa Bliss.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I thought she was tall.
Maybe you were slouching.
Maybe.
I don't know. All right. So, a couple things I noticed here. I'm going to say Sasha took the biggest bumps in the match, for sure.
Yeah, she did.
Naomi had the most impressive spots in the match.
Yeah, she did. I've seen that.
And I want to also say that Charlotte, Ember Moon, and Becky Lynch were all very consistent in the match. I'm a big Bliss fan, but she really did nothing.
She really did nothing.
She really didn't have a whole lot going on, and that's kind of why I expected her to cash in.
Yeah.
Because she wasn't really beat up at the end of that match, you know? And maybe that's smart. I don't know.
Don't say that about the cash in yet. We gotta leave that for a little bit.
Yeah, that's why I thought she might cash in. I didn't give anything away. I'm sorry.
We gotta talk about that cash in afterwards.
Yeah, so you had some good tea time facing off with Charlotte and Becky, the two friends there.
That was actually a
couple times they faced off. Ember Moon did some really good spots. The springboard crossbody onto Sasha and a ladder.
That was crazy.
Sasha, her spine hit that ladder.
I wanted to cry because the thing is, I'm a big Sasha Banks fan, and the thing is that she, to me, is fragile. I'm sorry. She's fragile. I don't want anything bad to happen to her. So all of a sudden, I seen that one. I was like, yo, is my girl all right? Because I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I don't know how. That's a ladder.
Yeah.
That's her ladder. So when she took that bump off that ladder,
I
cringed. I felt that pain.
Bump.
I was like, oh my God.
If one of the male wrestlers took that bump, I would have cringed. Because it was a hard bump. But I'm not trying to take anything away from
Sasha
the women.
Sasha Banks has been taking a lot of big bumps since she's been coming to the WWE.
Yeah, she has. Yeah. And it's impressive. She impressed the hell out of me in that match. Taking those bumps. I thought she was legitimately going to be hurt. She's got to be sore today.
I thought
she was legitimately going to be hurt and have to be taken out of the match, because that was right at the beginning of the match.
Bro,
when she
it was on
bump.
The spine. You seen that?
Right?
It was in the middle of the spine.
Gosh.
That was crazy.
It was. That was.
I thought
brutal.
She was gonna. I thought literally they were gonna stretch her out. That's how bad it was.
I really thought so, but she kept going, and it was.
But Ember Moon did disappoint me though.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to see that freaking finishing move from the freaking ladder.
Yeah.
I really wanted to see that eclipse. I really wanted to see that.
Dude, she's so good. I can't wait to see a title run with her.
Yo, seriously.
It's going to be good.
She did a good job. Shout out to Booker T. They did a good job training her in his wrestling thing in school. I'm sorry. She's good wrestler.
Yeah, and then Naomi had a really good hot streak probably about halfway through the match.
Yeah, no, beginning to the middle. I'm sorry. She did a good job.
Yeah, no. She did a great job throughout the whole thing, but there was this one time. And maybe it was a little more towards the beginning. She dominated Natty, and then she took out both Charlotte and Becky. And then she took out Alexa Bliss as well.
Did.
And it was all just after each other. And then right after that, Natty kind of came back into it with Sasha.
I thought Sasha
took another hard bump on her back. Natty powerbombed her onto the rope. And then kind of bounced her off and then into a ladder.
She's,
and I was like,
I'm going to say in Gail terms, she's the original gangster of the women's division, because she's been there for a long time. She's
Natty?
An OG.
Yeah.
She's an OG. And God bless her very much.
Yeah.
I thought she was going to win. And I want her to, before she retires, I want her to hold the title before she retires.
She'll hold it again.
She is a phenomenal athlete. And they did a good job in a dungeon with her.
Oh, yeah.
She picked up real quick.
Yep. When the Hart Dynasty came out, Jay Smith and Tyson Kidd, she was the only one that succeeded.
It's
amazing. She did great.
And she still is.
Yeah, and then Naomi just continued to impress me. She did a springboard onto the ladder.
That was pretty cool.
At one point.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah,
I saw that.
That was really cool.
These women keep on impressing me all the time. They always, and I love it. I'm so happy that the WWE has given these women. I take that back. Women wrestling itself, all right? WWE had no choice but to put them on top of the guys.
They had to change it up. And I got to give WWE some credit for actually
doing the same matches, of the guys.
You know what I mean? Because it's like we were just talking about a little while ago. WWE tries to water people down and stuff. So I was always nervous seeing how good, like, the Four Horsewomen were doing in NXT. are they going to get called up to the main roster and then have, like, a bikini match or something like that?
I know, so, but I think those days, you know, of, like, those stupidity days are gone now.
Finally
gone.
Finally
gone. And I'm so happy that that's...
And, like, back in the day, you had, like, Trish and Lita, and you had
Victoria,
some really good...
Victoria, Jazz, a good wrestler
as
well.
You had some really good talent, but
Molly
they
Holly.
Weren't used consistently. It was two women at a time that would feud, sometimes three, I don't want to say all the time, but... They would feud for the women's title. Everybody else would kind of just fall to the wayside.
Remember the times that we would watch wrestling and we would watch the women's title? They'll be like, oh, I'll be right back. I'm going to use the bathroom. We'll be like, because
that's the way
that's
they made the
would,
matches.
That's how they made the matches.
And,
but I'm going to tell you something right now. You know what was the biggest highlight in sports? I'm going to use sports in general.
Mm-hmm.
Was Ronda Rousey. We're going to get into Ronda Rousey in a bit.
Yeah,
but I'm going to tell you something now. Ronda Rousey had to make literally a weight division for Ronda Rousey, right?
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden... WWE started looking at, oh, wow, the women over there in UFC are phenomenal. ROH, their women are phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, what are we doing with our women? They can have some good, phenomenal matches on NXT.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's call them up. Let's start utilizing. Now, they are utilizing them right.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, too,
yep.
I wouldn't mind seeing, and I don't mind seeing it, when they have a women's main event. Because UFC has already
hoping,
done that.
Yeah.
You know? And I thought that we were going to do that with the women's money in the bank.
I thought that was going to be the last
man.
Match, too. And I have to, I'm going to outright say it, and I've heard people online, I've read reviews since last night of people saying the men's money in the bank match was the best match of the night. It was good. I thought the women's match was better.
I want to say, you know what? I didn't get into that, but right now,
mm-hmm.
I'll hold the tea for later. What I want to say about that match.
All
right. So, all right. So, let's hold the team for that match. All right,
let's keep going. We're going in chronological order of the event here. Carmella and Asuka.
Oh,
this
God.
Match frustrates me so much because...
I had
before, before we get into anything, I've never been impressed with Carmella's wrestling ability. This was one of those matches where Asuka was the Bret Hart, the Chris Jericho... She made Carmella look good.
Good.
It would have been believable. I would have been pissed. But it would have been believable if Carmella pulled an upset win last night. Because she looked so good in that match. Now, that being said...
I knew that was going to happen.
We knew what was going to happen,
We
right?
all knew.
Yeah.
We talked about it in the last podcast.
Yep.
And you knew that was going to happen because
Ellsworth. Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you something right now. We all knew. Even the crowd over there knew.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you something right now. It's the 1 year anniversary of Money in the Bank.
Mm-hmm.
His homegirl, right?
He climbed the ladder.
He climbed the ladder. And it's the 1 year anniversary where she actually won, you know, Money in the Bank. And that was his, like, pretty much his big thing. So why not put him back with Carmella? It only makes sense.
It
only makes sense.
Yeah.
But I'm going to get back to it again. Now that Asuka's in the main roster, she did a better job on Raw. I thought she was going to do something good with Charlotte Flair, but that's another story for another time one day.
Yep.
But right now, she's on SmackDown. I literally thought that when they put her on SmackDown, she was going to be a champion right away. She's going to have some great matches with great people. I love Carmella. Don't get me wrong. I like her. But she's not a good wrestler. You know what I mean? She's not. She's not.
She had that chicken wing submission move.
Yeah, she did.
And that's a pretty good move.
Yeah.
I like it. I have to say. One good move doesn't make you a good wrestler.
No, but the thing is, Asuka had that move too. Asuka had a lot of moves that she had to cut down because, for example, that armbar.
Yeah.
She had to cut that down because it didn't give it to Ronda Rousey.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, Asuka's a phenomenal athlete.
Yeah.
I hope to God she gets her hands on Ellsworth.
Yeah. So, that's in my notes. You see it right here. I want to see Asuka versus Ellsworth. Ellsworth, in whatever promotions
he's
been
Harvey
doing,
Wolfman.
He's doing his intergender wrestling, and he sounds like a complete clown on his Instagram. The stuff he says about women, I can't stand the guy, personally. And I don't think he's a good wrestler. I think he's a joke. And I want Asuka to just completely stomp a mud hole right in him.
No, God. I'd rather see her stomp a mud hole on David Arquette for winning that WCW title.
Yeah, that would be okay, too. Maybe Arquette and Ellsworth versus Asuka in a handicap match, and she dominates both of them. Oh, that's God. A squash match right there, baby.
And then put Harvey Whippleman in there, too.
All right.
And as well. You know, yeah. Do us a favor.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like when Umaga used to take on three local jobbers on Raw. Ryback used to do it.
Daniel Braun Strowman did it.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. Ellsworth, you know how he got his start was Braun Strowman beating the hell out of him. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, look where he's at now. I gotta give the kid. You have to give the credit some credit. You know, at least he's in the scene. He's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
WWE garbage. You know what I mean?
All right, let's keep it moving. So, AJ versus Shinsuke. AJ.
trash. I already knew what was gonna happen, and at the same time too, I'm gonna tell you right now, Shinsuke, go back to NXT.
Yep.
That's all I gotta say. Go back to NXT. Because I'm sorry to say,
I agree.
There is no way they're gonna utilize him right. He won the freaking Royal Rumble. I was happy about that.
I
was. You know, a Japanese guy.
You wanna talk about trash?
I'm saying Japanese guy won the Royal Rumble.
No, that's great.
That's great.
I'm fine with that.
He made history.
But there are better Japanese wrestlers than him. That I would
have Taka Michinoku.
Yeah.
Tie and tie.
Woo!
That was, yes.
Have Funaki come back.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, thank you. All right. I'm going to give you an analogy here. This is Shinsuke's current WWE run kind of summed up in one spot of that match. When he did his little table run to kick. Remember when he ran along the three announce tables? Big setup. Everybody's ready for something huge. Small follow through. He runs, does this really sloppy kick, falls on his butt.
Yeah, I saw that. I was like,
that's his whole career, man.
I think
this big setup. Shinsuke Nakamura. Shinsuke Nakamura. It's like when Sin Cara first came on. All these big promos, and then it's Botch City.
I won't tell you right now.
It's like, it's ridiculous.
I think Shinsuke was still in his zone watching the World Cup. That's the reason why he did that kick. He thought he was kicking a soccer ball.
Yeah.
I think
any of those soccer players could have done a better job than that.
Yeah, they would.
It was awful. And
horrible.
So Styles joins a very small group of WWF/WWE champions that have successfully defended the title in Last Man Standing matches.
Oh, it's good.
Which is good for him.
I don't mind, to be honest with you. I don't mind AJ Styles holding down that title at all.
No, because he's
mind
a fighting
he's a champion.
Champion.
I don't mind him at all.
Yeah.
So you need to take a guy out, Shinsuke. Bring Seth Rollins to freaking SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
AJ Styles and him will have some phenomenal matches.
That would be great.
Oh, my
and
God.
That'll, match that'll happen down the line.
I hope so.
I really think so. So he took Shinsuke to school. That was the match.
You know, what made me laugh was when AJ Styles kicked him in the balls.
Yeah.
I was in the corner and looking at AJ Styles' face. I'm laughing because he's like he gave me like, you want to do it to me? I'm going to do it to you type thing. I was like, now tell me how it was. Because I'm going to tell you something now. I was not a fan of Shinsuke. What's up with him hitting the balls? I thought I was playing Mortal Kombat, for example, for a long time. I thought he was Johnny Cage going after the nuts. I'm like, you can't. My kids watch this.
Yeah.
No, don't do that. No. No more hitting nuts. Leave the nuts alone.
I can't wait. I got some kids at work that watch WWE. I can't wait till they come up to me and go, hey, Mr. Joe, I'm like Shinsuke Nakamura.
Yeah,
picks me
exactly.
Right in the
no
special place. That'll be fun.
No.
Thanks, Shinsuke.
Oh,
all
God.
Right, let's keep it moving. Rousey and Nia Jax. That's all
actually,
I got
you know
to what
I'm going
to
say.
I thought it was a pretty good match.
I'm going to tell you right now, Ronda Rousey did really good for her first singles match.
Yes.
She really did.
Now, here's the
she
note
really
that I have about Ronda Rousey. Right now, and since WrestleMania, too much novelty right there. I, and Raw's on right now, we're not watching it because we're doing this. I'm going to catch up on it. I hope she wrestles tonight. I hope she becomes a regular performer. I want her to be a regular performer too. I don't want her to become the Brock Lesnar of the women's division.
That's exactly what they're trying to do. I'm scared
that that's what's going to happen.
Because think about it. She has these movies. Yeah. She has all these things that...
Yeah.
Ronda Rousey has made a household name for herself, all right? Oh, yeah. She's now in WWE. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, like, I'm going to tell you right now, they need to utilize her better. And if she has even said it... I don't know if she's just saying it for TV or how she really feels... Because, she loves wrestling, and you know that. Mm-hmm. But I'm telling you something right now. It's probably what she's saying is just talk. You know what I mean? Show me that you're not talk. Show me that you actually are there for a long run, like the other females.
Yeah, what was she saying to Nia? She was saying, Ronda Rousey's always ready. Show me that. I want to see you wrestle.
And not have these little fight segments. I want to see her match to match every week.
She has had more talking segments than anybody else on the roster, including Brock Lesnar.
I don't want to see talk. I want to see wrestle.
Dude doesn't show up for the majority of the shows. He shows up and Heyman talks for him for a couple weeks leading up to the pay-per-view. But she shows up every week, which is good, and it's not her fault. It's WWE's fault.
It is WWE's fault, man.
We should be the writers. She has to wrestle, man. I want to see her come out and wrestle on Raw. I want to see her... consistently. Okay. I want to see her wrestling as much as Alexa Bliss wrestles, as much as any other woman on the roster.
I mean, could take this real quick. All right. As you can see, I told my friend Bobby, I told him, you know what?
Bobby.
I was like this. Listen here. I'm a big SmackDown fan.
Yeah.
I'm a big SmackDown fan. Mm-hmm. I've loved the SmackDown show better than the Night Raw show. And I have been a fan since when SmackDown was on UPN 38 as a kid, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So I was a youngin'. But I'll tell you something right now, okay? People that are on Raw should at least be a star wrestler. Ronda Rousey, if she was in SmackDown, she have no choice but to wrestle, you know what I mean? But she's on Raw, and Raw is like, for ratings, if you want to use that analogy, all of a sudden, like, oh, Ronda Rousey's going to be out tomorrow. All right, the fans... they already see what she does in USC.
Yeah.
They want to see her now crack some heads, break some bones, and let's do this. That's what I want to see, too.
They got to at least give her some squash matches against somebody. You know what I mean?
Put her Ellsworth. Put her somebody in there.
Oh, put her with Ellsworth. Please put her with Ellsworth.
You know what? Put her with somebody.
Break his damn arm.
But...
oh, my gosh.
Let's get back into that.
All right, So, pretty good match. She did do a good job,
she
like you said.
She did a good job. She did a good job. I gotta be honest.
There was that time where she kind of like awkwardly fell out of the ring.
She also tried to pick up Nia Jax at one point. I thought like, she did that slam. But I saw she had some, you know, she has struggled a little bit.
She
struggled a little bit, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So Nia's big, you know? I mean, that's gotta be...
Man, I want to see her, you know...
twice the size at least of Ronda Rousey. So, I mean... she's getting her bearings still. When she climbed to the ropes, and I think she did it on purpose to show that, like, this is unfamiliar territory for her. But she still is getting her bearings a bit. She's still got that UFC mindset a bit, and I don't blame her for that.
I don't blame her either.
I mean, Ken Shamrock, if you look at his first matches in the WWE, like that, and he... is the embodiment...
his wrestling style was still UFC, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and he's the embodiment of... a UFC fighter that really, really made it in the WWE.
So much better than Brock Lesnar.
He was doing every week. He was winning mid-card titles. He never won the WWF title.
I wish he was a champion, though.
I wish he was, too, honestly.
Triple H, if you hear this, please, please bring back Ken Shamrock for at least a couple of matches. And please bring him in the Hall of Fame.
He's small now. Yes, put him in the Hall of Fame.
I know, but he's still got that. I'm sorry, I was jealous of his freaking... his six pack. I was jealous about that. He had a phenomenal physique on him, you know what I mean?
I wasn't jealous because I looked exactly like it. But...
yeah, and then you woke up.
Yeah, then I woke up. All right. Okay, so I knew that this was going to happen.
I knew it was going to happen too. I knew that was going to happen.
I did like the way that they did it. Ronda had her and she was like, finally, I'm getting you in this armbar, and then boom, Bliss comes. Hits her with the briefcase. And I did like the way that it happened.
I like the way it happened.
It wasn't super fast.
Nope.
And it wasn't like one hit in the briefcase and then Ronda's magically out. No. She went back and she was like, no, Ronda's going to get back up. I didn't hit her that hard. So I'm going to hit her a few more times. And then I'm going to hit Naya a few Ronda, more
shout
times.
Shout out to Alexa Bliss before we get into you more. But yeah, thank you for doing that, because I'm going to tell you something right now. Welcome to WWE, Ronda Rousey.
Yeah, thank you. Good work. So, 5 Feet of Fury comes out, cashes in the same night, wins the women's title.
When I saw
it
that,
had the big match feel.
I'm going to tell you something right now, and I love that. I'm going to tell you the way, I love the way they did it. And I said to myself when I was at home watching it, I'm like, she won the briefcase. And I said it too, when she won the briefcase, I was like this, you know what? She's going after that title tonight. She's going to cash it tonight, but she does not want to hold that briefcase. She wants to hold a title.
And she posted on Instagram, it was a very good, short little video. She held up the briefcase, and she goes, I like having this. And then she dropped the briefcase or put it down, and then held up the title. And she's like, but I love having this so much more, or something like that. And I was
I'm sorry, perfect. So they put it, I'm sorry, but that girl, I know I've seen her NXT, her beginning stages, and they put it with, her boyfriend, Ryan Murphy.
Murphy.
And all of a sudden, I was like, the way they utilized her, oh my God, she's that little so good, girl, man. She is good.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, she's one of my favorite top wrestlers right now.
She is my favorite in the women's division by far.
And you know what?
I like her a lot better than many of the men's wrestlers. I've said it to you, the women's division is the best thing in the WWE right now.
Yes, it is.
Absolutely.
It really is.
And I don't apologize for that.
No, don't be, because I totally agree with you.
And now let's go to the main event, which should have been the women's Money in the Bank ladder match.
It should have been.
The men's match. It was good. It wasn't a bad match. It just wasn't great.
I see people online
saying it was the greatest match of the night.
I said it earlier. I hold it a T for this segment. For this moment, I mean. Trash. You know why it was trash? I'm going to tell you something. The reason why it was trash
was Bobby?
I'm going to tell you something right now. I had a feeling it was just like the way that they all ganged up on Braun Strowman. Mm-hmm. I was like, all right, they're going to beat the hell out of Braun Strowman. Yeah. And eventually, he's going to end up winning the match because he's now thing. And then a lot of people even said it too. I thought Big E was going to be in it. I love the way that it actually hyped up that it was going to be Big E.
Did anybody call that it was going to be Kofi last week?
No.
Oh, wait. They didn't?
No.
I did.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I said it was going to be Kofi.
I thought, you know what? You're right. I thought it was going to be Big E, but next thing I like the way that you were teasing it a little bit. I was like, that was pretty good. Because
I actually like their segment with KO.
Yeah.
In the back, Kevin Owens. So I was with like, I was like,
you know what's funny is this, that right now, Kofi Kingston been on 7 Money in the Bank ladder
matches.
So
he tied Kane?
He tied Kane.
Yeah, he tied.
So all of a sudden I was like, I wanted to see this guy do some phenomenal stuff.
Corey Graves said it though. How many has he won?
He hasn't won none.
I'm a big Kofi Kingston fan. I am too, but
I'm sorry to say, I thought when I thought that he was gonna go in the match, I was like, "Oh, good." So he might get a big push. It might give him a big push.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, I saw great strategy by the guys. Bobby Roode, I'm sorry, but he should not have been in that match either. He should not have been in that match. They actually all these good talents in that match. I knew from the bottom of my heart that Braun Strowman was gonna win. That briefcase looked like a freaking. I actually would have rather had
Elias in that match and had Bobby Roode doing a thing with Seth Rollins
now. Yeah, that would have been good. That would have been way better.
I thought burying Strowman at the beginning, it really the reason that they did it is because it let the rest of the wrestler, because Braun Strowman's a beast.
He's
a good wrestler for a guy that size too. He's got a voice just like Hogan. I'm sorry, dude. That stinks, but.
You know about that.
You know, and so they bury him at the beginning of the match, and it really let the others shine throughout a good portion of the match. And I liked it when Baylor goes out for that ladder, and then Bronze. It's like a Swamp Thing type of clip where he's like digging himself out, or like Jason when he's coming out of the ground, you know, on Friday the 13th, something like that. He's coming out of the ladders and he grabs onto the one that Finn Balor's bringing in. I thought that was cool. It was just a cool, fun, gimmicky wrestling segment.
Here's Johnny.
Cool. Yeah, here's Bronny.
Exactly. So I was like, I knew that was going to happen. I knew exactly what was going to happen because when I see boring Brock Lesnar matches, when they actually attack him and stuff like that, comes out of the blues, does his suplex city thing, and all of a sudden wins match.
Yeah.
So at Braun Strowman's thing. So I want to tell you something else so we can end this one real quick.
Yeah.
Braun Strowman, I know you're probably not familiar with social media. There's a thing called a phone that a lot of people use. So if you can get on your phone and get on Twitter and tell that big ass dude, excuse my language, kids, we try to keep it PG, to get his butt into WWE so he can look stupid in front of everybody and you cash in and you're the new Universal Champion.
So for those listening, Miggy's obviously talking about Brock Lesnar right now.
Oh, that dude, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I agree with that. I'm going to just shout out a couple little notes that I had, and then we can end this segment. Rusev did his triple accolade on
that was actually on, pretty good. And Lana did the same thing, too. Yeah. Lana did the same thing, too, on the Women's Money Bank.
I was really impressed with Lana grading on a curve. She wasn't a highlight of the match by any means, but she's not a good wrestler. I'm sorry.
She should just stick with management.
She should. I hate saying that. Or she can do, like, the low mid-card stuff. She shouldn't have been in that match, though. For her, she was impressive. She had some good moments. Rusev, I think he's a pretty good wrestler. I think he's a little boring at times, but last night in that match, he did a good job.
He did a very good job. Very Rusev actually, well done. He actually surprised me sometimes.
So. Yeah. Kofi and Baylor, high-flying all over the place. I expected nothing less.
Of course.
I really wish Finn Balor won that match. I don't think Braun Strowman needs the briefcase.
You don't. I thought
he's a monster. He can win the title.
Anytime. You know what? So, I thought Samoa Joe would have had it, too.
Yeah.
Samoa Joe, because you know what?
And then that would have been sweet.
But I hope to God they can rekindle that match.
Samoa Joe's theme song, that gets me pumped up, man.
I really hope they rekindle Samoa Joe versus AJ Styles.
That would be sweet.
I want to see that.
That would be cool. And then we just have to shout out the toss Strowman gave Kevin Owens off the ladder.
Damn, that was crazy. I was like, oh my God.
That was probably the OMG moment of the night for sure.
Not the one with Sasha?
Well, I mean, as as far as like a big move that's like going to be replayed a bunch, that was it. Sasha was the most cringeworthy.
I don't know
if you want to call it a botch, but just the way that she landed on that, I still, that makes my back hurt. Just
there is one funny move that I love from Braun Strowman. When he took the office chair and threw it at freaking Roman Reigns' face.
Oh, yes, I agree. That was fun. I enjoyed that very much.
I rewind that
anything
sometimes.
Getting thrown at Roman Reigns is pretty fun. So, sorry, Roman. Love you.
I don't think we even talked about the Roman Reigns match.
I think that was on purpose.
I think so, because that was boring.
We're not going to go back to it.
No, Let's end this segment. We're going to end this segment like that.
We're going to hop into history of the King of the Ring and wrap it up for the week.
Yes,
so
we are.
There we go. All right. Let's hop right into that then. All right. So, it's June. What's synonymous with June?
For WWF, WWE.
Yeah.
King of the Ring.
Yeah. You know, it's definitely King of the Ring. Which is funny. Because King of the Ring, first one happened in 1985, was not a pay-per-view event. And it wasn't until 1993 that it was a pay-per-view event. And it also wasn't until 1993 that it was actually held in June.
Oh,
which
wow.
is interesting. It was held in June from 1993 to 2002, which was the last time it was a big WWE pay-per-view event. And then from then on, it was never held in June again either. So it was that stretch that made it so synonymous with June. But so
the King of the Ring has jumped around so many times.
It has. And they've had it. I wrote down all the winners of Money in the Bank. We're off that segment. Each King of the Ring tournament. We don't have to talk about every single one. I like it. Since we're in Massachusetts, I do have to shout out first two King of the Rings, July 1985, July 1986, Foxborough, Massachusetts.
What?
Yeah, man.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I'm not even sure the name of the venue. I'd have to look it up.
Oh, my God.
It was not a big venue.
No.
July 1985, Don Morocco defeated the Iron Sheik in the finals of the first King of the Ring tournament.
Wow.
July 1986, Harley Race defeated Pedro Morales.
Shout out to Puerto Rico.
Woo!
He is actually Puerto Rican, Pedro Morales.
And then, you know, Harley Race, the king is kind of synonymous with that, so that's a big one.
Yes, it was.
September 87, the Macho King was born. Oh. Macho Man defeated King Kong Bundy.
See, that's what I liked. At least in those times, they actually they took that King gimmick and they used it.
We got a couple others that worked out into that. Something I do like is the following year, October of 88, Ted DiBiase won King of the Ring and defeated Macho Man in the finals just by happenstance. And it was actually by countout. And then October 89, Tito Santana wins it, defeats Rick Martel.
Oh, God, that was his former tag team partner.
Yeah, Strikeforce, right? Yep. And then September 91, I actually didn't know this. Bret Hart won that.
I thought Bret Hart only won it once.
No, yeah, so two times.
Wait, 1991?
1991, September 1991.
I'm going to have to go on WWE Network and go on the King of the Ring.
I don't know if they have these ones on there.
They have?
They might.
They might have. They I'm going to have to look that up
I looked
now.
At the network this morning because I was curious about that. If you look at the King of the Ring shows, they only have 93-02. However, in the vault section, may have some of these other ones, so it's worth some exploring. So he defeated IRS in 91.
Owen Eisleister. And I hope he paid his taxes.
And 87 through 91, so that's, it was 87, 88, 90, and 91. There was no 1990 King of the Ring. So I think this was all in Providence, Rhode Island, so the very New England-centered event. So it's
so
kind of
pretty
cool.
Much... King of the Ring was more, like I say, from 87, at this moment right now, you have Macho Man Randy Savage that pretty much to get it to a new level.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah.
Before that was Harley Race because he was the king. All right? Yeah. Harley Race. Yeah. So those two so those 2 years.
Yeah.
Then after Savage won it, we have to wait to 1993 where from going down this list, I'm going to let you go. Mm-hmm. Now, all of a sudden, that made the event epic. You know what I mean?
So, 93 was the first time it became a pay-per-view for WWF. Yep. Bret Hart, once again, apparently this is his second time becoming King of the Ring.
He should have been the main event because...
defeated
was in
Bam Bam Bigelow in the finals. Bam Bam, rest in peace. One of my favorite bigger wrestlers of all time.
Yeah,
I love
so many.
That guy,
yo, his agility was ridiculous.
If you look back, Bam Bam Bigelow, not the big matches that you know him from, like LT and stuff like that, but if you look back and you find his...
I just like the way he talked. I like the way he talked.
Oh, man, everything about the guy was awesome.
He's from Jersey. That's what, so that accent with
and
a Jersey accent.
And when he got
Luna
by his side, it was so awesome. Joined the Million Dollar Corporation. I could go on and on about Bam Bam. Huge fan of his.
Before we go into the next year, the tattoo that's on my stomach that says Miggy, that you've seen before. Right?
Yeah.
The guy that tattooed that... tattooed Bam Bam Bigelow's head.
No.
Yes. Yes.
Man, that's,
that was sick. That, when I went inside, the guy was tattooing over here in front of him. And then when I went in there, I was like, yo, I was curious or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And I seen, I was like, I want to get a tattoo. And he was like, what do you want to get? My stomach. So all of a sudden, I see pictures of tattoo artists that, you know, tattoos of people getting tattooed. And I'm like, yo, this is Bam Bam Bigelow. He goes, yeah, I tattooed his head. I was
what? Cool.
I was like, you tattooed Bam Bam Bigelow's head? So, yeah, he's like, yeah, that was actually one of the tattoos I like to do the most. It was Bam Bam Bigelow. He had a picture with him and everything.
Yeah,
and on one of the pictures, it was just a Bam Bam Bigelow's flames.
Yeah.
I was like,
yeah,
oh, my God. He was like,
you want to talk about tattoos that must have hurt.
Yeah, he said it hurt. Oh. And you know what's funny?
Right on the skull.
He said to me while he was tattooing my stomach, he goes, buddy, you have hold this pain much more better than Bam Bam Bigelow. Because my lips, when I get a tattoo, I literally hold the pain. I was sit there and hold the pain. I'm like, I was screaming.
I've only got the one on my arm, and the spot that I got was, it's got like a good amount of muscle and fat between the bone, you know.
And
I'll
tell you, the one...
And it's like,
so
there's one part on my tattoo that gets closer to the bone. And when I got it, I started, oh, gosh, that's hurting.
So when he told me that, the head, I was like, oh, my God, that must have been the worst pain. He was like, you know what's funny? He holded it very well.
Yeah.
But I think you did a better job than him. I was like, okay.
Oh my gosh.
So rest in peace, Bam Bam. You know, you actually to this day, me and my brother actually lighted the flames on his head. It was actually pretty cool. Yeah. We always feel like, was that real?
I always thought maybe it was like a stick on.
And thing that was a stick on too. And then I used to play the WWF WrestleMania arcade game.
Yeah.
And I remember they used his head as a flame. So that was pretty cool.
That was a cool game.
So
that was cool.
Rest in peace, Bam Bam.
And speaking of rest in peace, 94, the winner, of course, Owen Hart.
He did a good job as King of Hearts. I loved it. I loved it.
I think my favorite King of the Ring.
It was. Yeah. That was mine, too. That was mine, too.
In 94, just one of my favorite years in wrestling. I could do 14 podcasts just on
Owen Hart.
1994.
I'll tell you right now,
Owen Hart and Bret Hart and Undertaker and everything that was going on that year was just awesome.
I'm sorry to say, Owen Hart. Rest in peace. I love the guy. I'm sorry to say.
Oh, dude.
He
one of my favorite heels of all time.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah.
A good heel.
A great
But the
heel.
Thing what made me otherwise love about Owen Hart, he would just make moves like a cruiserweight.
Oh, yeah.
And he just come up with moves sometimes. Yep. And I'm like, yo, dude, this kid. And I'm like, to this day, I sometimes say to myself, I'm like, why you guys didn't ever have a make him champion? Because I'm sorry to say, he can go easily to the 205.
Oh, yeah.
NXT. If you look at it now, I think you fight Owen Hart versus AJ Styles. Oh my God, that would have been a freaking phenomenal match.
Mm-hmm.
You know, rest in peace, Owen Hart. You know, when that happened, I was at my neighbor's house watching that pay per view.
Mm-hmm.
The next day, it was like a dead silence with a bunch of my wrestling buddies because we felt heartbroken. I actually wore my Stone Cold Steve Austin shirt, and my wrestling friend goes, "Why do you have that shirt on?" You know what happened? I was like, I know. And he was like, and then all of a sudden,
I remember
I was
my
like,
mom
wow.
woke me up the next morning and was like, hey, I was just listening to the radio and I wanted to tell you that Owen Hart ended up dying last night. And I was just crushed.
They should have at least, I could get
like,
into that.
Because they were. If you go back, it's so painful to watch that pay-per-view.
I don't watch it.
That was kind of towards the beginning of the night.
It was.
And it's like every other promo or anything, everything went out the window and everybody was just like, Owen, we're hoping you're okay. Nobody knew. It's terrible. That's just awful.
Just give you a quick note
before
we end this real quick with the Owen Hart situation. Go into... And look it up. Roddy Piper went on Vince Russo about that.
Mm.
Look that one up. I want you to go.
I'm happy to look up anything with Piper.
I want to tell you right Piper. Now. Go into Vince. Roddy Piper going in Vince Russo. This is the early stages of TNA.
Oh, it's in TNA.
It's in TNA. Right. Just go into that. Yes. I'm not going to say nothing.
All right.
Just look it up.
No, that sounds good. Everybody who's listening, you guys can look it up too. We'll all talk about it. Tweet us if you do. And we'll read some responses next week. So we got Mabel in 1995.
Men on a Mission. That was my favorite tag team.
I love Men on a Mission, man. But I just... They weren't super believable with the heel gimmick.
No.
And then... So he defeated Savio Vega, who was a very underutilized talent.
Los Boricuas.
And then 96.
The only matches that Savio Vega had was with Stone Cold Steve Austin. I'm sorry.
That's the only one that you're gonna acknowledge.
That's the only thing I'm gonna acknowledge.
That's fine. Yeah, no, those were some great matches. So Austin 1996.
The birth of Austin 316.
That is
my favorite, hands down.
Honestly,
hands down. I'm sorry, that was one of my favorite ones.
Honestly, probably the most historic.
King of the Ring, yes it is.
Not necessarily the whole pay-per-view, but that moment when Austin 316, that was probably the most historic thing that's ever happened at a King of the Ring. And we got a lot of it here. But 97, let's shoot through these now. 97, Triple H defeated Mankind main event. Or not in the main event, the finals of it. 98, Shamrock, I actually forgot about that. Shamrock won and defeated The Rock.
He did?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I forgot.
Damn.
That must have been blocked from the memory.
Jesus
I don't know.
Christ.
99, very interesting one. It's a very DX-heavy King of the Ring.
Yeah,
Billy Gunn won that one, defeating X-Pac in the finals.
It was like everybody from DX.
Everybody from the, it was kind of weird.
My best part was actually when China went for a low blow on Road Dogg and he had the cup.
That was good.
I was dying. He's like,
Road Dogg, another guy. I love Road Dogg. Oh, yes, he's so good. Kurt Angle, 2000.
Yes.
He defeated Rikishi, one half of the Head Shrinkers.
Yep. He backed that ass up that night.
Yeah, he did. 01, Edge, I was happy that he was able to win. And this is another one kind of...
And that Kurt Angle actually was back-to-back. Yeah, he was he would have made history if he would have won that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and so that kind of reminded me earlier when we were talking Savage won in 88, and then he almost could have won the next year. Or Savage won in 87, and then in 88, it was him and DiBiase again in the finals, and then DiBiase won.
Ugh.
So... we had two opportunities. It never happened, the back-to-back stuff. But, so, yeah, Edge defeated Angle in 01. 02, Brock Lesnar, oh, gosh, defeated Rob Van Dam.
This is when Brock Lesnar had a legit run, though. Yeah.
I'm going to tell you something
now. But. Now, since you said that.
Yeah.
At this moment when Brock, in 02, okay, was whenever whoever won between Brock Lesnar or RVD had a title shot at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to say, from the beginning stages of King of the Ring, that should have always been like that.
Yeah.
So somebody has
to look. It did end up happening a lot. Owen Hart, when he won in 94, that SummerSlam, he had a shot against Bret Hart.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
It just kind of happened. I'm pretty sure Mabel got a shot against maybe The Undertaker. I'd have to look it up.
I know they fought. I know they fought, but it wasn't for a title, though. I don't think it was fight time.
Might not have been. I'd have to look it up.
That's when Mabel pressed his face or something like that. Yeah.
But it had happened a couple other times. But you're right. That would have been a cool stipulation to have.
They should have. They should have.
So, 02 was the last time it was a pay-per-view. And then we jump over May 2006. Booker T.
King Booker! Yes!
And Queen Charmel. I
love that gimmick. Yeah, man, I loved it.
And we went to a lot of shows right around then.
Yeah, we did.
And I remember I brought my Queen Booker sign to an ECW live show. And Paul Heyman, he had to waste some time while they were getting stuff ready. He was calling my sign out. Man, I was marking out hard. That was cool. That was fun.
That was actually...
The finals, I didn't remember this, were on a Judgment Day pay-per-view.
I remember that, so, yeah, I was on Judgment Day. Yeah. That was stupid. That was really stupid. I shouldn't have done that.
April 2008, I believe this happened on Raw.
Yes, Regal, it did. One.
And I think all of these, actually, from here on, happened on special nights of Raw. Regal defeated CM Punk.
I've seen that.
Punk should have won that. I like Regal a lot. But the
match could have went either way.
Yeah, it really could have. I really thought Punk was going to win, but... whatever. November 2010, Sheamus defeated John Morrison.
I forgot, was it a regular... was it on a Raw?
I believe that was on a Raw. And then, yes, it was on a Raw, because I was actually at my brother's apartment, and I asked him if we could turn on Raw.
Okay.
I was King of the Ring that night. And of course... he didn't know anybody that was on there.
Of course. I hate that when you're trying to watch wrestling and then all of a sudden, like, yo, who's that? Who's that guy? Who's that girl? Oh, wow. And I'm over here, I'm going to say, yo, shut up. Let me just watch the damn thing. I hate that. No offense, Kevin.
All right. And then April 15, which was the last King of the Ring that we've had, Bad News Barrett.
Are you sure it was versus... Yeah, it was against
Wade
Neville.
Wade Barrett defeated Neville. Okay.
Yeah,
and
because R-Truth
was in
it.
He went far in that one, too.
But I'm going to tell you something. That was a WWE Network special.
Was it?
Yeah, yeah, it was. It was on Network. It was on Network. And I'm sorry to say, they should have just left that like that every time. You know what I mean?
I really... It'll come back eventually. We'll have another King of the Ring. That's not going to be the last one. I would love to see another one come back soon. I don't know. It'd be nice.
Watch Rue go home tomorrow.
Yeah. I think the way that they did the Greatest Royal Rumble...
they should do something like that, man.
I think they might do that for King of the Ring. I could see that happening, because now they're doing this big showdown thing in Australia, and they'll go to another country. Yeah, I mean, they're doing their whole thing over there. But maybe they'll do something in another country. I don't want to speculate where. There's so many different places it could be, but maybe they'll do that with King of the Ring, and they'll say... King of the Ring live from
But think about it. It might not happen. Think about it. Because when it came down to that WCW Starrcade,
yeah,
they used that as a live event show. I was so mad.
That was mad. That was, what's that T word?
Trash.
All right. So I wrote down a couple non-King of the Ring tournament related things that I think we have to mention if we're talking about history of King of the Ring. Taker and Mankind, we talked about it last week.
Yes, we did.
Hell in a Cell, history made right there. Another one we talked about last week, Austin versus the McMahons, ladder match.
That was good. I like
good
that.
Good stuff. Angle versus Shane,
street one of my fight. Favorite matches,
love
man.
It. Kane and Austin in the First Blood, which was actually the same, and I didn't... I remembered this
it
when I looked
it was the same pay-per-view.
It was the same night as the Hell in a Cell, because they ended up lowering the Hell in a Cell during...
That first blood match. Yes, he did.
And so Kane, I believe this is correct. I'm not 100% sure. This was the first time that he came down with both sleeves.
Yes, he did.
A jerk. First blood match. He doesn't leave any exposed skin anywhere. Oh, my gosh.
Of course he was going to win.
Of course he was going to win. And then Austin won it back the next night.
Austin was actually hurt. You know why? Because his elbow... He actually had to do
split open his elbow or something like that.
And
I remember that the referee had done an interview either earlier that night or that week or something like that and had said, this isn't a match that I'm going to end for a scratch. When it's first blood, it's got to be like, they got to be split open.
Yeah, split open.
Which, it's a good thing that he said that because Austin ended up splitting open his elbow. And that was early on in the match, I believe. And so, of course, he got split open in the forehead.
Pretty much, like, to leave this real quick. The only first blood match I liked was at the end of the era. It was Undertaker versus Austin. That was my very one.
Yeah. Hey. So I want to end this segment with one of my favorite King of the Ring matches, and it's a funny one. And when I looked it up, when I looked it up to double check my year, it was a very short match. But I was a kid, and I loved. The build-up to this match
was brilliant. It was freaking brilliant. I loved it.
Bret Hart versus Jerry the King Lawler in a Kiss My Foot match.
I'm sorry.
Do you remember Lawler's promos?
He was stomping his foot in like a pig pen.
Or something.
It was slop. It was slop.
Oh, it was slop. And he was, they'd show him in the back, and he would have this dirty-ass gym sock on, and his big toes sticking out the front, and it's all like, you could smell it through the TV, man. It was so gross.
And it was the funny part of that match was after he won, he took his own foot and put it in his mouth.
So he kissed Bret Hart's foot, sucking on Bret Hart's big toe.
Oh, my God.
And then Bret Hart takes off his boot, and then shoves it right into his own mouth.
Like you know how BB puts his foot in his mouth? That's like exactly what he did.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, my gosh. I just have such, and I don't know if fond is the best word to use for this, but I have such fond memories of that match, man.
That was just too funny.
It's so funny.
I remember my mom saying, is that what you like? You like people sticking foot in your mouth? That was, what? No. It's the match.
I remember commentary from other people in the household.
My brother, my God.
My brother came in and he was like, are you serious? Like, what?
It was just
that.
It wasn't like I didn't watch the pay-per-view. I watched the highlights because, you know, at that
I was loving it. I couldn't wait for it. That was good stuff. So that's a brief history of a very historic event in King of the Ring, and I think it's perfect that we ended with Bret Hart and Jerry Lawler kiss my foot.
Because I'm gonna be honest, Bret Hart and Jerry the King Lawler, literally them two together. Even Bret Hart said it. He loved working with the King, and that he loved it when the King went.
Those two had this feud that just kept going.
And the thing it was good.
And it was perfect. Like they went into the Yankum stuff, and it really came to a head. But it was, it just kept going.
Bret Hart even said in interviews that he loved working the King. He loved it when the King took jabs at his family because his mom will be laughing.
Oh, yeah.
He loved it. She loved it. She said that she will tune in just to watch what the King will say next.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry to say, the King should have been a comedian.
He did some very funny commentary on the Hart.
Oh, my God. He was awesome.
It was really good. Man, that was just a golden time.
It was, it was. It
really was. So that's the King of the Ring history. Next week, we got a pretty cool show. I'm excited about this. We have a good personal friend of mine, Ross, is going to be joining us on here.
I can't wait to meet him.
Yeah, he's a cool dude, man. We're going to be probably recording next Thursday night, the 21st, I believe it is. That's this Thursday. I don't know what next, 28th, 29th, whatever.
Yeah, don't jump around. I already got a little jury duty this Friday.
Oh, man, good luck.
Oh, my God.
So,
and you know what's sad part about it? I didn't even get in trouble.
That's the best time to go to court when it's not you. Oh, my God. You know? So, assuming Miggy isn't serving on the next OJ case or something like that.
I was hoping for it, though.
Oh yeah, you gotta write a book.
I want it to be front row and be like, he did it.
Oh, we'll have to practice the jury finds this defendant. Yeah, it'll be good. So next week, ECW, we're gonna be shooting on the most hardcore, the most disgusting, the most awesome.
I'm a big ECW fan. I can tell you so many. Yeah. I can tell you stories about ECW. And also with the introduction of Miggy loving heavy metal.
Hey.
Okay, so
I'm
yeah.
I'm excited.
So yeah, I this got so pretty much.
You got
I,
some Metallica love in there.
Pretty
for
much,
me?
It's more than Metallica. You're not gonna take a note of that. You're gonna love it. You're gonna love it. So yeah.
I'm excited.
So yeah,
because I know that I like that stuff. I mean, yeah. I like everything.
Yeah,
but
I DJ too. So, yeah. But eventually, it's like a lot of people see like at that time they're like, "I'm a hip hop guy." You know, what I mean, I grew up with hip hop and R&B, but to see me, you know, take the right turn into something, you know, you want to take a note about that. So
ECW with Ross, he's a huge ECW fan. He actually texted me after last week's episode and said, "Man, I hope you guys would have me on for an ECW episode." He is so excited to talk about
we gotta
it.
Do
so
it.
It's gonna
we'll
be
it.
It's gonna be a great show. I'm excited to have a guest on here with us, and we're also gonna do a special. I got a tear in my eyes. I'm saying this special segment about Toys R Us.
Oh my God!
Next week, it's the last week that they'll be in business, and I cannot believe that. So
many memories of that store.
You know me, I have a huge action figure room.
Yeah.
And
all of them are from Toys R Us.
Yeah, so many of them are, man. And Ross does as well. I will say that we met at a Toys R Us, actually. So believe that. So we're going to talk about some fun.
I'm the one. I'm the outsider that doesn't have the action figures, but eventually,
but you know,
I'm a die-hard wrestling fan. So yeah,
and we'll go into probably a couple things outside of WWE when we're in that segment too.
Yeah.
But tons of cool stories there. So that'll be a fun one. So next week, tune in ECW Toys R Us. We're going to be talking about a lot of stuff. Ross will be on. Ross, can't wait to have you, man. And.
Episode 2. No, you're right.
Here I am
episode
stomping
2.
On Miggy.
No, you did stomp on Moho. I had to say something. Like I said, I have a shout out to my other podcast too.
Tune in.
Yesterday was the Father's Day edition of Anything and Everything. And like I said, you'll hear me here like this rated PG, but on that podcast I'm more like rated R. So if you're into
Rated R superstar.
Oh yeah. So if you're really into comedy, and at the same time too, we go in on current events and also sports and media. So check out the special edition of Anything and Everything podcast while we go in on the fathers as well. So you don't want to miss that. So look out for that.
Yeah,
one.
Check it out. Anything and Everything, guys. And then of course, just keep following us.
You know, keep on doing our thing.
Yeah. All right. Everybody have a lovely rest of the week. Stay cool
God
out
bless.
There. If you're living in Massachusetts, it's a hot one. And we will see y'all next week.
Take it easy. God bless.
All right. So thank you, everybody, for tuning in. This is JP and Miggy at Suplex Slamcast. Be sure to follow us on Instagram at Suplex Slamcast and on Twitter at S Slamcast.
And that's all I got to say about that.